Hello, folks, and welcome to the seventh episode here of the Hawks Watch podcast. This is your host, James Arnold, coming to you here on a, let's see, man, what day is today? Wednesday, December 4th. And it's been a while since I have talked to you guys here. At the last episode that I released was just before the season started, and personally it has been quite a busy last few weeks, so haven't had much time to get on here and make a podcast episode. But hope everyone is doing well. Hope everyone's Thanksgiving was good, and I guess we're gearing up for Christmas here soon, so hope everyone's doing well. On today's episode, I kind of want to go over, you know, what's happened so far this season, dive into really a big picture recap and analysis for the season. We'll go over the injuries, the problems with the play, and then kind of do an individual players look and overview of each player on the Hawks before we get out of here. But also in this intro, just want to kind of introduce where we're at currently with the NBA Cup. So for those of you who may not know, the NBA Cup is, I believe it's its second season now. It's been named the NBA Cup now. Last season it was called the in-season tournament, which it's better. NBA Cup is a better name and what it should have been called from the start. But the Hawks have made it out of their group, so they will face the New York Knicks at Madison Square Garden on December 11th, 7 p.m. Eastern, and will take on either the Milwaukee Bucks or the Magic if they win that game, and in Las Vegas. So again, on the 11th, they'll play the Knicks at MSG, and the winner from that will take on either the Bucks or the Magic in Las Vegas on December 14th. If they don't win that game in New York, they will face the loser of Bucks versus Magic in the makeup game on December 15th in Atlanta at State Farm Arena. So just for the intro, kind of wanted to go over that and see where we're at for the NBA Cup. But without further ado, I will play the intro music and we'll get started. Recap, and we'll kind of take a look at where the Hawks, you know, what they've gone through this season, where they're at now. So, just starting off, currently team is 11-11. They will play tonight, so that'll change later tonight. But they're 11-11 right now. They are about where they were projected to be, about where I expected them to be this far into the season, and they've actually, it's pretty impressive. They're on a four-game win streak right now, and, you know, despite all of the significant injuries and challenges, the roster rehaul, changing the play style, in spite of all of those, you know, challenges presented to this team, they have actually done pretty well and are where they're projected to be, despite some bad luck and injury challenges, to say the least. So, just talking a little bit about the injuries, so far, so let's go over that. Bogey has only played 8 out of 22 games. I would say he's either their second or, well, Jalen has done quite well this year, so I'll say third best player on the team would be Bogey. He's only played 8 of 22 games. Kobe has also been out a significant portion of this season so far. He's only played 8 games as well. Vete Krejci has also only played 8 games. The big thing with Kobe and Vete being out for so long, and it was really this long stretch of games where there was 4 to 5 rotation players out, being, DeAndre, Kobe, Bogey, Vete, and even Dyson missed a couple games during that stretch as well. But, without a backup point guard on this team, which is, something that I had in the offseason was kind of talking about as something that would, is lacking for this team is a backup point guard. With DeJounte going out and not really replacing him with anyone, in a backup role. I know they were trying to get Tyus Jones in that role, but ultimately weren't able to sign him. So their backup point guard was, slated to be Kobe Bufkin, who, he had a great year last year in the G League once he was healthy, but didn't get a whole lot of reps at the, NBA level, so he's still pretty much a rookie. So anyway, he's slated into that backup point guard role, but even he had missed, most of the games until recently, playing the last 8. So there was no one really to step up in backup point guard minutes other than Keaton Wallace, who really did a fantastic job in that role, but he's on a two-way contract. He's supposed to be the 17th, 18th man in the pecking order. Not really supposed to be your full-time backup point guard, and even actually played more minutes than that in some games. He is also not really a true point guard. He's more of a shooting guard, slasher, scorer. Looking to get to his spots. He's not really a facilitator, so having Keaton Wallace in that role was less than ideal, but that's what they had. And again, he did great in that role, but not really not who's supposed to be playing there night in, night out for 20 plus minutes. So we were lacking there, and really that came down to just when Trey would leave, they're just offensive process was pretty terrible. Again, Keaton is not really a facilitator. He's not a pass-first point guard. He's more of a slasher. So the offensive cohesion was just not all that great. Jalen Johnson took a good bit of usage there, kind of slotted into that backup point forward role, which he's actually still been kind of doing even with Kobe Bufkin. Back now, which is again, what I was talking about there, Kobe is not exactly the most proven player on the NBA level. He's really a rookie in most senses still. So, playing through Jalen a lot there, in the backup minutes. All of that to say, the rotation was spread quite thin throughout that, long stretch of games where, again, 4 to 5 rotation players were out, and you were missing those top, ball handlers and playmakers, Bogey, Vete, Kobe, and offensively really missing the shooting from DeAndre and Bogey as well, which I'll talk about here in a minute. But really, the rotation got pretty thin despite all of the depth that was built up over the offseason. I mean, no NBA team can withstand 4 to 5 rotation players being out for an extended period of time. It's just, the way that salaries work and how teams are constructed, no one can really withstand that. But again, the Hawks held up pretty well, and it actually did not derail the season from the start. So that is a good thing. They are still 500 and decently where they project to be. So all things, again, with all of that those negative challenges that they had to face and adversity, I would say. They're doing pretty well, especially with playing a lot of young guys, in Jalen, Kobe, Risa Shea, Dyson. All of those guys are 23 and younger, with Risa Shea being 19 and Dyson 21, and really scaling up to his first time playing big minutes in the NBA as well, which he's been incredible, but we'll get to him in a little bit. All that to say, the injuries did play a large part in the front of the season, the Hawks actually did pretty well despite having to get pretty thin with the rotation and play the likes of David Roddy, 6'4", at the four position, and playing Larry Nance at the backup four, which, he is a great, a very nice rotation player. You don't want him playing four. He's just not, as athletic as he used to be, and don't really have the foot speed to stay with a lot of fours in the league. So, not ideal there, but did pretty well in the role considering, and actually Larry Nance shot great from three. But so injuries have definitely impacted the first part of the season here. Another thing that I kind of quoted as a concern for the offense coming into the season was, in addition to the lack of a proven backup point guard, which, by the way, they are hoping Kobe Bufkin proves himself this year, which actually in the last couple of games he has been, pretty dang good, and they're really hoping he can become the future backup point guard consistently by the end of this year. But just coming into the season, they didn't really have a backup point guard that was proven. But anyway, other than that, I quoted the shooting as a concern for the offense this year. And so currently, they are shooting 35% from three this year, which is well below league average. That's 19th in the NBA. And they are 21st in 3-point shooting frequency in the NBA as well, which is not a great sign either. You want to be taking more threes rather than less threes. The reason this is occurring is there's just not a lot of high-level shooters on this team, and especially with Bogey having missed most of the season so far, and he's really just now ramping up. He honestly had a couple pretty rough games in his first few stints, but he has not been there most of the season. Risa Shea, who we were hoping was going to be a pretty good shooter, he's 19 years old and he is a rookie. This is his first minutes in the NBA season. It's notable as well. He played through the winter in Europe, in the playoffs there. Then he played summer league. He adjusted into the NBA as number one pick. It's been quite a year and last several months for Risa Shea. So even though he hasn't found his shot consistently so far, he's still actually been a great addition to this team. But all that to say, Risa Shea right now, today, is not, you can't count on him every night to be a consistent shooter. DeAndre has also missed about half the games so far. He's their third best shooter, and he's really taken more of an offensive six-man role as a shot creator himself this year, which they have definitely needed with the lack of, creation on offense outside of Trey, and then again with the other ball handlers kind of being out. Again, DeAndre, his shooting is important to space the floor, and he'll sometimes, take a pull-up mid-range or, get to the rim, which, sometimes isn't always the best move for him, but, you'd rather have him doing it than, I don't know, let's just say David Roddy. he's actually been very efficient, especially in offense this year. Without having Bogey and DeAndre in a lot of the games this year, they've really struggled with spacing You know, they're playing Dyson Daniels. He's not, well, guarded a lot or highly guarded on the perimeter. Jalen Johnson, while he has been hitting a, good percentage of his threes, is not like a high-level three-point shooter, you wouldn't say. Again, Risa Jay's been a little bit inconsistent. Even Trae Young, I mean, he's been dealing with this tendonitis, Achilles tendonitis injury for several weeks now, dating back to the start of the season. And his shot just for a couple weeks has not, gone in at as high clip as you'd want, which can happen. You know, people get in slumps, and I don't know how much the Achilles is affecting him, all of that, but, he obviously garners a lot of attention no matter if he's making or missing shots. So far up the floor, it doesn't actually matter, but he hasn't been hitting them at a high clip either. So all of that, culminates in the Hawks just don't have enough shooting on this team. Even with Bogey and DeAndre back, there's still not enough spacing on this team. There's just not a whole lot of guys that have to be guarded as shooting threats in a lot of these lineups, and a lot of teams just aren't closely guarding guys on the perimeter, which leads to increased paint presence for the opposing defense. The Hawks have difficulty handling the ball inside the three-point line. This leads to a lot of increase in live ball turnovers, where there can be which can be the most harmful type of turnovers generally. And that's led to a few of the Hawks' losses this year so far. So definitely shooting is a concern for this team. Moving forward, it seems like they are trying to just really develop that internally, and then of course, I don't know what moves they may make, into the trade deadline. I doubt they're gonna try to buy a player and make a run deep into the playoffs. I feel like this is more of a transition year, learning about the guys that you have and seeing what you can develop. So I wouldn't imagine any, big buys there, but of course there is the clog at center, with, Larry Nance, Okongwu, and Capella all are solid rotation caliber centers. So of course there's some room there to, maybe offload one of them and get something back in return. I'm not gonna speculate too much on future trades, but that's something that they'll probably be looking to add in the future. But it seems for now they're just trying to focus on developing that internally, which would be Jalen Johnson, continue having Dyson just shoot the ball, have Risa Shea get a little bit more consistent, Kobe Bufkin, hope he starts knocking it down. I'm sure a few of these guys will, over the next couple of years, become, better shooters than they are today. They are all quite young. So I think they're trying to, more focus on developing that internally and remaining flexible for whatever moves. And, when they really do want to push to contention, they may have to make a move there. We're a little far away from that, so again, not going to speculate too much there. But shooting has definitely been an issue so far this year. Other than that, the main changes this year, which I've talked about in the off season a lot, is really the play style. You can tell they're playing more in that, Quinn's offensive system, where, he wants them to make quick decisions, shoot, pass, or dribble when they catch the ball, and just have more ball movement. The defense has been really focusing on, impacting shots at the rim. So protecting the paint has been a big emphasis, and a lot of the games have kind of come down to shooting variance and what team is shooting better that night. But on the margins, generally the Hawks are doing great. Rebounding has been a concern at some times, but other than that, the defense has honestly looked pretty good. I don't have the exact numbers today on where they are at in the NBA, but the defense has been less of a problem than the offense. The offense has been a bit of an issue. Again, just going back to the shooting, like a ball handling, all of that, I think it is going to improve over the course of the season. But the main thing is, that, I don't have much concern when you have Trae Young as your point guard, that the offense is, the offense with him on the floor is great and it will continue to be great. And, once Kobe or they figure out kind of the backup ball handling, I think the offense will be fine. But defensively, it's been a lot better this year. The ball pressure, the perimeter defense, the 3-point defense has definitely been an issue. And I think, we're one of the worst. I think we're bottom five in the league at 3-point percentage and frequency allowed by opposing offenses. So that's somewhere they're going to have to tighten up. But I think Quinn is just focusing on the fundamentals of the defense, impacting the paint, rotations, etc. And they will get better on the margins with the 3-point shooting as the year progresses. But it has been a massive uptick from where they were. I think they were bottom three last year in defense. I believe they're about average this year. So that's been massive, and that's kind of what we expected. And I expect it to really only get better from here, as again, most of the guys playing and impacting on the defensive end are young guys. So that's been a nice development. I do expect the offense to kind of regress a little bit to the mean and improve a little bit. Although, again, shooting and backup point guard and just ball handling, playmaking without Trae on the floor is going to be a bit of an issue, as well as spacing for the offense. So, kind of keep our eyes on that as we go along through the season. But that's kind of where we're at right now. Hopefully, that gives you a good idea of kind of, what things have looked like, even if you haven't been paying super close attention. That's kind of where the Hawks are and what things have looked like through the first 22 games here, which we're about, I guess, a quarter of the way through the season. So, time flies. I do want to go over individual players here as well before we get out of here. So, gonna start with Bogdanovic. Again, he's only played 8 games so far. He's been definitely ramping up. Since he came back, he did have a few poor games, but of course, I don't really have worries about Bogey. He's been, the Hawks have always done well when he's playing well, and he's super important for this team for just shooting purposes. He's the most high-level shooter on this team. He has to be guarded whether or not he's making shots. I mean, teams just respect him. There's better spacing when he comes on the floor. So he's very important to this team, and happy he's on the team, even if he has been injured throughout most of the game so far. So we'll keep tabs on Bogey throughout the year. Kobe Bufkin, again, also 8 of 22 games that he's played due to injury. So I kind of already went over, where he is a little bit, but just to recap again, he's, more of a rookie. He's slotted into that backup point guard role, but he's not, when he's on the floor, he's not always running all of the actions. Still, a lot of the time, Jalen is kind of taking that point forward responsibility and helping him facilitate the offense, just because, again, Kobe is not a super proven NBA rotation player. So he definitely has, some ups and downs, and it was pretty rough the first couple games, but it's looked pretty good for him. Defensively, he's a pretty good defender. He applies pressure, he's strong. I think long term his defense is going to be fairly well above average for a guard position, and I think he does have the ability to play with Trey long term as long as the offense comes along a little bit, which I again expect that too as well. He's been doing a pretty good job running the pick and roll last few games and running the offense. Again, defensively, he's been pretty good as well. So he's going to be up and down. But, long term, Kobe Bufkin should be fine and hopefully becomes a real core long term piece of this team. Moving on to Clint Capela. So this is every Hawks fan's favorite player. Clint has actually been really good this year. He's been the best center on the team, undoubtedly. And I know a lot of Hawks fans don't, love that he's still on this team, me included. I've been, up and down on him. But right now, he is relatively healthy for him. He's played all 22 games. He is massive when it comes to rebounding. I think he actually has one of the highest plus minuses on the team from when he's on and off the court. So he, of course, limits your offense a little bit just with the lack of spacing, and that is an issue. It does clog up the offense a little bit, but defensively and rebounding wise, he's so good there that kind of makes up for that and provides a little stability, especially where, we were missing a lot of guys. He kind of just provides a stable presence on the floor, allows you to get some stops and contest some things at the rim, and get some boards. And, that is always helpful when they're not getting second, third chance opportunities or, all of that. And you just get to set and run the half court offense or try to get a transition opportunity against them. So Clint Capela, he's been really good. We'll keep an eye on, what they maybe do with him later this year if they are looking to trade him. At this point, it's kind of out of mind and not really talked about currently, but we'll see where that goes, and we'll keep an eye on that. Dyson Daniels has been probably the greatest story to, I don't know, follow with this team this year. So, if you've been listening to this podcast, I am a massive Dyson guy. I've been saying since the trade happened, I'm super excited for him. He's an elite defender. On offense, he does the right things as well. He makes good reads, moves the ball. He's not like an elite offensive player or anything. But he, has a nice floater. He can get downhill. He's very strong. He makes, he has solid passing. He does lack in the 3-point shot, but I'm fine with that as long as he just shoots the ball and doesn't shy away from shooting it. So, which so far, he has done, generally. It's, just when he catches it and he's open, shoot the ball. Defensively, he's been incredible. I mean, he might be Defensive Player of the Year this year. Seriously, he the amount of if you look at the deflection numbers, the steal numbers, and just the metrics with him, advanced metrics with him guarding other players, and the on-off numbers with him and the defense, like he's just really an incredible defensive player, and it's so cool to be able to watch every night. I mean, I get excited every night to watch him play defense. Just absolutely stonewall, like a Donovan Mitchell on the Cavs. I mean, Donovan Mitchell could not do anything in those couple games where they, lost to the Hawks. He's an incredible defender, and it's really what we've been lacking on this team. The question, I guess, for some is, was he going to be able to scale that up to, full 30 minutes a night playing that high-level defense? And, what is the offense going to look like? To me, offense has looked fine. Again, as long as he's shooting it and not shying away from that, is probably the biggest thing. And his defense has been truly a game changer for this team. And he just provides as well, length, athleticism, size, strength, at the two guard position, and kind of provides them a secondary ball handler as well at times if needed. So he's super important for this team. Obviously, he's not the offensive presence that DeJounte was, but I don't, that didn't fit with Trey's offensive game, and I'd rather have, him being an absolute elite defender. I mean, his numbers are truly insane, and the eye test checks out as well. Dyson Daniels has been incredible to watch on defense this year. I cannot say enough about this guy. Again, he is 21 years old, so super young, and has a lot of growth ahead of him. So I'm just very glad that he's on the team, and I do not envision a world where he is not a long-term core piece of this team. DeAndre Hunter, he has been, after the first couple games where he started, he then got injured and was moved into more of this six-man type role where he's coming off the bench and providing shooting and a little bit more scoring. He's getting higher usage playing on the bench, and they need that. They need a shooting for spacing purposes. They need him to just put up the shots that he puts up and get those shots out there. He is a pretty good shooter. He's looked really great. His efficiency numbers have been great. I think he's around 64% true shooting this season so far. So his efficiency has been great. He's been a very nice team defender. He's in a lot better role for what his strengths and weaknesses are. So, for example, previous years where he's literally our best wing defender, he's having to guard a lot of guys on the perimeter. Well, he just doesn't have the athleticism anymore or foot speed for that. He has a knee, his right knee is been a consistent issue for several years, so you just can't really ask that of him at this point with where his body is physically. But he is a great team defender, makes the right rotations, is always communicating, plays off the weak side well, off ball, etc. He's a good, really good team defender, and they've been really relying on him for secondary offense and shot creation. So DeAndre's been great this year when he's been available, and super important to what they do. Jalen Johnson, he started first couple games pretty lackluster, I would say, after signing his extension. But since then, he's been doing great. I believe he's, averaging around 20, 21 points a game, 9 rebounds, and several assists as well. I believe he's had the biggest plus minus discrepancies when he's on the court versus off the court. Offensively, he's been doing the right things, putting pressure on the rim, playing in transition. He's been good at, making the right reads, passing effectively, kind of scaling up his offensive game to get into this role where the Hawks want him as the, second guy on this team, and he's done quite well so far. Of course, he's only 23, so a lot more growth. I would expect him to continue to get better, and especially on defense, I would expect him to continue to improve there, where at times he has not been the best team defender outside of his big highlight and flash plays, blocks, etc. But yeah, Jalen has looked good. It's kind of what we would expect and what I was hoping for this season with him. So all things looking good there. I'll move on to Veet here. He did get hurt a few games as well. He was out for quite a long stretch, and he hasn't played every game that he's been available either. But he is a great option to have. He's on a $2.5 million a year contract. Really good, playmaker, excellent passer. He provides nice ball handling. He's 6'8", has nice perimeter defense. He's really like the 10th man in the rotation, so he doesn't play every night just because there's so many bodies. But if people are hurt and he's available, which the problem was that he wasn't available when a lot of guys were hurt, he's a great guy to have, and he should honestly, on most teams, he would be playing. It's just the Hawks are very deep, so he's not, currently playing a whole lot, but he's looked pretty good. Garrison Matthews is really the second best shooter on the team after Bogey, and he, has to step up when other guys are out. A lot of the time when Bogey was out for the first, I don't know, 14 games or so, he was kind of in that slot where he was the high-level shooter that they deployed, and running around taking catch and shoot threes, and really trying to provide spacing. But of course, his defense, he's a small guy, is not the best, even though he does try really hard. So Garrison has been Garrison, very solid guy to have on the team, and they need a shooting, especially when Bogey is out. Larry Nance Jr., so he has not played every game. When Okongwu and Capella are both available, generally he doesn't play unless, it was that stretch where a bunch of guys were out and he had to slot into the backup four at times. Even though they had tried to play David Roddy initially without, giving time to Larry Nance, and Roddy was just so destructive on the defensive end that they just started putting Larry Nance out there at the four, even though it's pretty clear they didn't want to. But Larry Nance, I mean, veteran guy, he's been shooting the heck out of the ball from three when he's played, and he's another great option to have. Of course, with them having three rotational level centers on the team, it's not the best asset management wise. Again, maybe they'll be looking at trade one of those guys. Capella and Nance are on expiring contracts, so I would not be surprised if they are traded. But again, that'll be later in the year, and not really too much talk about that currently. But we'll keep an eye on that. Okongwu, he has had a. It's always been a little bit frustrating with Onyeka because I really like his game, but he's never been so consistent and so good consistently that they have had to give him the starting spot. Because, ideally, when what you would imagine is that, well, years ago when they made the pick, I believe. What this is his fifth year. They picked Okongwu, number six overall, had Capella on the team. Well, you would expect that, you'd be kind of transitioning away from Capella and adding Okongwu into the starting spot. But he's never earned that starting role so far. Now, he has been closing a lot of games, and that is important to note. He's been closing them out well, but with the current construction, obviously, offensively, he is a lot better for this team. Defensively, he is a little bit small and lacks in rebounding, so ideally, he needs to be next to a four that can rebound at a high level, which Jalen is that. But even then, there are issues with rebounding with him at some times, and the defense isn't what it is when Capella is on the floor. But then offensively, he opens up a lot for them just with spacing, because, even though he doesn't make a high percentage, he can step out to the corner three, and we'll hit that, sometimes. But he just, with the way that he plays and the fact that he can put it on the floor, move the ball a little bit, make different reads and passes, he is more conducive to the offense. But again, it can be an issue on defense. So he hasn't forced himself into the starting role, and he hasn't been super consistent to where they've had to start him over Capella. And so again, with this whole center situation, having all these three rotational bigs, and with Onyeka, we don't know who the long-term starting center on this team is going to be. So it's just something to monitor over the year, I would imagine. The Hawks are trying to, get data from this season as to whether they think Okongwu can be, that long-term starting center, or if they need to go to a different direction, get a, continue having him to be the backup, or if they need, they're gonna evaluate the situation, I would imagine, this year. So we'll see what happens there. On to Zachary Risacher, number one pick from this year's draft. So he's been, I'll start with the defense. He is 19 years old. He has been actually really good on defense. Even I was in person at the Cavs game last week in Atlanta, and he was the majority of the time he was on the floor guarding Darius Garland. He did a fantastic job. I mean, Darius Garland is a small point guard who is very shifty, very crafty, explosive, all of those things. I mean, Risacher did a great job guarding him, not letting him get to his spots, impacting him. And I don't know, Zach, even without having a lot of weight behind him, he has been really strong in the paint, just walling up versus guys, getting several blocks, really staying in front of his man as well on the perimeter. Like, his defense has looked really good, especially when you consider that he's 19 years old. So, defensively, he's looked great and very mature for his age. And then offensively, it's been up and down. So he did have one game where I believe it was 33 points that he scored. He was on fire from three, just kept giving it to him and he kept making them. That was the game that he played the greatest amount of minutes. I believe he played like 30, 35 minutes. When generally he's been playing around, 22 to 25 minutes a night. But he's, offensively, the shot has not gone in consistently, but his passing, he doesn't, turn it over a lot. He operates pretty well and functionally within the offense without making a whole lot of mistakes, which, again, at 19, is pretty impressive. So, aside from the shots not falling at the rate that he and the Hawks would like them to fall currently, he's been playing the right way. He hasn't stopped shooting the ball. His mental state seems in a good place. And so, I mean, the future's bright for him. He looks very mature for a 19-year-old out there. And, he's a very nice pickup. He definitely helps out the defense and just provides this team with another versatile wing that they can go to, which is huge, especially in today's NBA. So he's a great pickup for the long term. I expect him to be a core long-term piece of this team going forward as well. David Roddy, I'm not going to spend too much time here, but he has been he was playing, when that stretch of games with a bunch of injuries, he has not been good on defense. It's terrible. Offensively, he has pretty interesting game, but defensively, it's just been so bad. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on him because he's not going to play too much, I wouldn't imagine, but it certainly was pretty rough defensively there. Keaton Wallace, like I mentioned him earlier as well, he did have to slide into kind of that backup point guard role earlier on, where all those injuries plagued the Hawks for several weeks. So he did a fantastic job. I really like him and having the option to go to him. He provides nice perimeter defense, and he's provides some ball handling. And even though he's not the greatest facilitator, again, you cannot ask much more from a point guard on a two-way contract than Keaton's given you. So he's great. I hope he actually finds an NBA contract, like a minimum deal or something slightly above that in the next couple years, because I think he definitely has a place in this league. Last but certainly not least, Trae Young. Trae, I think I mentioned earlier, again, he'd been dealing with this Achilles tendonitis injury this whole season, so it's been up and down for Trae. He started off super pretty hot, and he's had, I mean, his assist numbers are insane. A lot of people want to talk about how many turnovers he has, but when you look at his assist numbers, and how much he's handling the ball. Again, for this team, there's not really any other ball handlers. So he is going to turn the ball over a lot. It's just going to happen. And that just comes with the territory of having the ball in your hands almost the entire night, and making all the decisions on offense when you're in the game. So, I mean, he's been incredible from a passing standpoint. The last couple weeks, his shot has not been falling. I don't know how much of a factor the Achilles tendonitis is playing in that, or if it's just variance. But I don't really have any concerns for Trae. He's been through shooting ups and downs throughout his career, and generally, it's been that early in the season he kind of, isn't shooting as well, and then later on in the season he, starts shooting incredible, and he's always been good in the playoffs, except for that one Miami series, which that was just kind of a one-off and tough series, which, other than that, he's been great in the postseason. And I mean, going back to the 2021 Eastern Conference Finals run, absolutely incredible. So I don't worry about him. And of course, he's, when he's on the court, Hawks have, a top-rated offense, efficiency-wise. And when he's off the court, that, generally plummets. So it's really about, with this team, okay, how can we, can we have Dyson Daniels and Kobe Bufkin and these other, secondary creators? Can we, when Trae is off the floor, have those guys create at a level that is efficient for us to at least, sustain some sort of offensive cohesion and not just completely plummet when Trae is off the court? Because that is generally what's been happening so far this season. And what's plagued the Hawks for years. When Trae comes off, offensive plummeted. Even with DeJounte, he stabilized that for sure, but it wasn't, as incredible as you might think. And then, again, we've been over Trae and DeJounte again, but when they were on the floor together, the defense was so bad that it was just completely unsustainable. There are two players on the roster that have not played for the Hawks that I want to mention before I get out of here. One is Dominic Barlow. He has been playing in the G League. And Cody Zeller, he is still not with the team. He is, it's not certain what's going to happen there. I imagine the Hawks are still trying to buy him out, but for a cheaper price than his contract is worth, so that they can try to sign another, player to a full roster spot without going into the luxury tax. But that's a whole convoluted mess, and we'll see. So on the center situation, what I'll say for now is, with Cody Zeller, Capella, Onyeka, and Larry Nance, I mean, I know Cody Zeller's never going to play on this team, but I don't know what's going to happen with the other three. But it's just a huge question mark with this team. But for this season, doesn't matter too much, and this is really a transition season anyway. So it's about learning, Cannon, yeah, could take the starting role. What do we need around these guys to kind of fill in the gaps as far as shooting, backup point guard, and just, continuing to build out this team. So I'm gonna stop talking here. I hope everyone enjoyed that and kind of got a good gist of, what the season has looked like, what the main factors that's affected the season, and where, that kind of leaves us for the future, the rest of the season, and beyond. So hope everyone enjoyed. You can follow me on Twitter at HawksWatch99. I also do have an Instagram. I believe the username for that is HawksWatchPod. So you can follow me there. Yep, it is HawksWatchPod. I'll, post on my story about, different highlights and things that I'm seeing during the game. You can follow me on Twitter for more, analysis that I provide, throughout the week there. But I hope everyone again has been doing well and has been enjoying their holiday season. I'll leave it here and let you get back on with your day. But hope everyone's doing well, and thank you for listening. Always appreciate it. And go Hawks, and I will talk to you guys next time. Take care.